Base EL, we're holding a Zman Pei, Halacha Chav Zayin, and we're going to Halacha Lamed Hei. So we'll continue with the Malachas of Shabbos. And the Kitzur teaches us one of the most important principles in Hilchos Shabbos. And I just experienced, I was away for Shabbos in the hotel. One of the most classical shailas that I always find is the urn. Suddenly is an urn that's plugged in, or seemingly plugged in. And the question is, how did it get there? It wasn't there before Shabbos. So, are you allowed to tell an Andrew to put in an urn, take an urn that was plugged in one place and re-plug it in another place? And the answer is no. Why is that? The Kitzur teaches us in Siman Pei, Halacha Chav Zayin, anything that he saw can't do, you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do. So, of course, there's going to be many different exceptions. And therefore, based on the exceptions, we'll understand the question I just raised. But this is the first principle that we're starting with. It's actually major machlekes. It's just a nisa de rabbanon and nisa de raisa. Pashmisha, we nemon, as they say, we accept that it's the rabbanon rabbinical. But it's an important principle. Rabbinical is to usa. And one has to be so careful, especially when it comes to hotels and stuff like that, because once is the standard. Once you matter it once, it becomes the standard. That's a very important rule to remember. So, first of all, the example, just to learn for the example that the Kitzur gives, is that they used to have what's called Tanur HaChorif. That means the oven of the winter. In the old days, the oven was used, the same oven was used to heat up the whole house. And it was many times used as a place where they would heat up the food. So the Kitzur is discussing the place where you have what's called this oven, winter oven. And the question would be whether you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to heat that oven and to place also the food in it to be able to warm it up. So we're not talking about, first of all, food that wasn't cooked or shoved. We're talking about the food that was already cooked. And you want to simply just reheat the food that cooled off. So the Kitzur says like this. And the halacha is to ask a non-Jew to heat up an oven, or to turn the heating on, or to make it higher, because of cold in the house, that's permitted. Why is that? Because that's one of the major leniencies that's called Hakol Cholim Etzelatzin. Everyone's considered sick when it comes to being cold. There's discussion also when it comes to being hot, which now we're entering the summer. But that's for sure a principle that's true. The only caveat to that is that it really has to be that it's cold, not that it's just a little bit uncomfortable. That's already also a discussion in itself. But la halacha, that's what we say. So here's the case. You have this oven that you're asking a non-Jew to heat up the house with. You're also telling him, listen, just place some of these foods in the oven. And you're asking him to do so before you ask him to heat up the oven. So then when you ask him to heat up the oven, it happens to be that there's going to be food that got heated up. So the main purpose of what you're doing here is in order to heat up the house. And on the foods, that's called Einu Miskaven, this meaning on the non-Jew, his main intention is just to heat up the house because it's cold. So even though it's called the Psikresha, for sure it's going to happen, it's not a problem. First of all, Psikresha, we already said a few times, doesn't apply to a non-Jew. Now the Kitzur says that even though the meaning is like the Matirim, which means this whole thing is permitted, but Ba'al Nefesh Yesh Lo Lachmir, Ba'al Nefesh means someone that's careful, that's actually careful, should be Machmir for himself, that when there's not a great need not to do so. And especially he goes on to explain in those what he calls the iron furnaces. They're basically designed that are regularly used for cooking, so that he calls it the spar kichel or kichel. Anyway, the point is like this, that if it's clear that you're asking the non-Jew to heat up the oven, to turn on an oven in order to heat up the food, that's already a problem. So what we learn from here is clear. Is that to tell a non-Jew to heat up an oven for the purpose of heating up food is not permitted to be done. Now, like I said, we're going to get to a little bit more. What happens if you're in a hotel and you have 100, you have 1,000 people and they're going to not have hot cholent? What's going to be? Is there a difference in hot cholent versus water? Okay, so that we'll see. In any case, the next halacha the Kitzur discusses is a person that's pouring liquids. Any place that you pour liquids in a place in a ground, meaning earth area. And now because of that, it could cause the earth to be more fertile, or actually to cause things to grow. That's called the Nisa of Malecha Zareah. From the first Malecha Zareah, Koytzel, Reich Choyresh Koytzel, Zorea Koitzel. So the point is, come on, it's a discussion which one with the order, but you're not allowed to do so. And that's an Issa Doraisa. So one of the examples where you can't necessarily say it's an Issa Doraisa, but one has to be careful, that's eating. And Imam Shai saw that sometimes they make kiddushim. They make kiddush in the backyard. The problem is, you're not allowed to make kiddush in the backyard if it's over the garden itself. Because it's almost impossible, the kiddush says, to be careful not to pour your drinks. You know, whether it's the wine, soda, and certainly water. And there's another concern also many times that the shayla of tilto. So listen, tilto shayla usually is not a shayla, but it could be a shayla too if it's some place in a hotel. But milvada, besides that, he has a concern. The concern is that the person's going to pour and it's considered. And even if the person's going to say, well, I'm not having any intention when I'm pouring the water and it's spilling the water, etc. But it's considered a closed up psikresha. And even if it's not a psikresha, you see that we're careful, certainly in your field. Meaning, it would be better if you're eating in someone else's field. What's the reason for that? Is because at the end of the day, it's certainly not a benefit for you. You don't care. So that would be considered a psikresha de loich basle, that you don't care. Also, what emerges from here is that if it's something that is not positive, doesn't have any water, doesn't contain any water, rather something negative, like urine. So if a person needs to urinate, that's the reason why halachically one's allowed to urinate in the field. Wine, I think, is also included, actually, in something that is not going to be positive to the field. But even that, like we said, Mishnah also points out that one should avoid when it comes to your own field. It's difficult to decide what exactly is beneficial and what's not. Another discussion we started discussing is actually the sfog, the sponge. So anytime you want to clean up a wet surface, so the sfog that doesn't have a base achida, which means doesn't have a handle, you're not allowed to use. Why is that? Because it's inevitable. Another example of a psik resha that you for sure are going to end up squeezing. And if you're going to be squeezing, you're going to be over a schita. A new chiddush, I would say a new chiddush, is the kitza says, which really based on the Ramah, you're not allowed to spit in a place where the wind is going to scatter the spit. What's the problem with this? And the answer is a new melacha called zayre. Zayre is winnowing, much later stage in the process of the wheat. But we throw it up in the end, it separates the chaff. So what in the world does that have to do with spit? So the understanding is that the Rama, which comes actually from the Rama, which is from the Rishonim, I think, from the Zeruf, is I think it's the source of the Rama. Basically, it's similar to this concept of when there's wind, so it separates the spit. So although the Maise, there's many that say that doesn't seem to be something that's separating two different things. So there's what to rely on. But the chatchil, of course, one should not be spitting. Because even if you get around that problem, if you're in a public place, meaning where there's no air, you could be able to actually tiltal carrying the spit for Amas in Rosh Hashanah. What about a young girl that has what's called, that wants to braid her hair? So the halach is, I remember a girl asking me this, is this okay? And it would seem like, what's the problem with braiding hair? And the answer is, malachis boine. We discussed already boine, but boine could apply now. We're discussing regarding food. And generally speaking, boine is really something that you build that has a cue. Nevertheless, when it comes to women's hair, braiding the hair, it's considered boine. There's a beautiful chazal actually that say that Akadosh Baruch Hu b'chored v'atmei was braided Chava's hair for the wedding, for the big wedding between her and Adam HaRishon. Very interesting. Lashon of Binyan is actually Kliya, is the process of braiding. So therefore, braiding hair in Shabbos is not permitted. Also not to undo, that's actually a Melechus Stira of destroying. To undo the braid is also not permitted. However, a woman's allowed to fix her hair when it comes to using her hands. And when it comes to combs, this is the big shayla. I've gotten this shayla many times, that the comb that's made interesting, that they used a comb that had bristles made from chazer. It was called boar bristles. So generally speaking, it's It's the boar bristles is soft and won't tear the hair, but it all depends on the metzias. So if it's hard and it's impossible, it's almost impossible, they won't uproot hairs, you're not allowed to use. But if it's soft, a woman's allowed to use it for her hair, and especially if she designates it. What's this designation? Because there's a new set, there's a separate concern of davar of uda dechol, where you're doing an action that looks like it's an action of a weekday action. So the best thing, interesting, is to designate a type of brush. Best to use is a brush that you've tested, that you see that it's soft enough that it doesn't pull out hair. This is nagayos of when I go to the mikveh. When just asking the shayla. Because mikveh didn't lechatchila, one should use a comb, but the comb which obviously is a shayla. So the a type of brush, the halacha, if a woman uses a brush and it works and combs the hair, so the halacha should rely on that. But best, of course, to do all these hachanas before Shabbos, or on Shabbos to do it by using an anshu. And next halacha, when it comes to clothing, common shaylas, clothing that became dirty, soiled on Shabbos. So the halacha is you're allowed to clean it up with some type of rag. No problem, you're not using any water. However, to pour water, that would be already an issel of a kibbutz, like we said, laundering. Laundering would be a big shayla. Now, just wetting, we already mentioned this, just wetting a garment without even rubbing at a stain is considered laundering, right? We discussed even just pouring water on a garment that's not even stained, that even that was a major machlekes. Now, the kids discuss is a common question. What do we do if the child urinated in a clothing? So now they pour water on it. So to wipe it up with another rag or so, one is permitted to do so. If it's a type of surface like leather, we're going to discuss, also permitted because it doesn't absorb. But clothing wouldn't be able to pour any water there. When it comes to a person that's even drying his hands, another interesting shayla that the kids is mentioning is drying your hand on a cloth. Even after, let's say, washing hands with Netil Sedaim, it's not something that people are really so conscious of. So the halach is that you should rub your hands and get rid of as much water as you can after washing. First of all, there's a dinner, if you recall, that we learned about shifshuf, that rubbing your hands and making sure that the water gets all spots on your fingers. But besides that, to try to get rid of as much water, so this when you're drying your hand, you're not really doing anything, laundering any towels. Again, this is tremendous. This is be'etzem achumretze from what I recall, like a three-way machlikas in the Rishonim, exactly when it's even a concern. But the Maaseh, the Kitzos says, that's a good thing to do. And so this way you only have a little bit of water. So when you're drying your hand, it's called dech lichluch and not dech kibus. The Maaseh, the Velt is not so machmir in this. What the kids also throws in is that if it's a color towel, there's no concern at all. So I saw that actually the Achrin point out that they don't know this chiluk, this distinction. Chiddush from the kids of Shulchan Aruch, it seems. But at least according to the kids, it would seem that color towels would be a better type of towel to have than a white towel. Interesting. Okay. When it comes to a barrel that has water or other types of drinks, you're not allowed to spread a cloth on top of it in order to cover it, because we're worried that you're going to come to squeeze that cloth that you used to cover. But if it's a designated cloth for this barrel, so since it's a normal type of cloth you're using, you're not really concerned about squeezing it. So therefore, the halach is you're allowed to use it. If there is water that fell on the table, poured on the table, so you're not allowed to clean up with a cloth that you would be makpid about. So this is a good example, actually. Moshe has an interesting truth when it comes to tape paper towels and the like, where you're not really makpid, and therefore you could clean up messes and poured juices, etc., from the tablecloth. If it's just water and you're using a cloth that you are makpid, so if there's a lot of liquid, it's not just a tiny bit, we're worried that you might squeeze it. And also, when it comes to drying with a cloth, cups that they have a narrow opening, that's also a problem, because Since it's so narrow, it's inevitable, again, a concept of psikesha, that you can end up squeezing. And lastly, a person is going, and it's raining, which is discussed in Halacha, the rain of Chosh Chodesh Iyar. You're walking in the rain, and the rain fell on your clothing. So the Halacha is you're allowed to continue walking. That's not a problem. But when you take off your clothing, make sure to take it off in a place where you're just going to hang it up or put it on the side, but you're not going to spread it. You can't spread it the same way you would spread usually something that you washed. It's interesting that today you don't have such, not so common. You know, people put them on the laundry strings, etc. But even inside the house, you know, I'll do this. Called chadri chadorim. You still know something that the guys in pnei maritain, because of what people, because what's the whole concern that people are going to say, oh, this guy person must have laundered these clothing. But you could put them up, like I said, on a hanger in a place where you normally would place a closet, etc. Or in a place where where you don't normally spread clothing after you laundered them. But the halacha is, now there's a few other concerns. So when you're taking them off and you want them to dry, even if it's moist just from sweat, it's interesting, the kids are discussing, you still, like we said, don't spread them. And certainly don't place them in a place where it's next to the fire. Let's say you have a nice fire burning in the house, a fireplace, that would be a major problem, because if it's in a place where it could reach Yad Seledes Boy, right, where it could reach at least like 113 Fahrenheit, so then the other one, 111 Fahrenheit we mentioned, that's already a problem because of Bishul. And included in this is to stand in these areas, even just standing with the clothing on, you also the problem. One is also not allowed to, and this is also an interesting shayla of kibbutz of laundering, to shake the clothing from the water. A clothing that a person is makfid that it shouldn't be wet, you're not even allowed to move it around after you took it, because we're worried that maybe you're going to come to schita. You're going to come to squeeze it. So basically what happened here is that Chazal gave a garment, which is unusual, something that wasn't muktzah before Shabbos, they gave it a status of muktzah. And this only applies when it's very wet, the Mishnah explains. So when you're removing a very wet garment that you care about, you should be careful to put it in a place, wherever you're going to put it, where you're not going to have to move it again afterwards because of this gezeirah derabbanan. Have a beautiful day.